Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill has worked 2 days in a row. Very proud of you for that.
I'm wearing a tiara right now, and that's the main reason, Wendy, because I'm proud of myself for putting in two straight days of work. Actually, I haven't gotten through the second day yet.
Yeah,
I'm taking
guess.
A vacation
the day
in the
young.
Second half. John Duffy is here, noted
we need
psychologist.
Him.
We need you now more than ever, John. We really do. I want to start out. I know there's other things to discuss, but
sure.
we watched the press conference with Donald Trump, and I'm curious about this, not just today, but almost any time I see Donald Trump speak. There seems to be the urge to constantly pat himself on the back. Whenever he's talking about anything, he throws in little
instances. I did this tremendously.
Right. No matter what it is. At some point, he was talking about Russia, and he quickly threw in the fact that the Miss Universe pageant did very well in Russia. There was no reason for that, but he did it. That, to me, says narcissist. I'm not the only one who's branded him a narcissist,
this
but I've
true.
Never seen an extreme example of somebody who constantly needs self-reassurance. Where does that stem from?
Listen, you know, we all have some degree of ego need, right? We want to feel good about
That's
ourselves.
That's why we're in radio. Come on, be honest.
Right. Yet, you know, some people have this kind of well of unmet needs. And I think you're hinting at the right thing, Bill. By and large, I've yet to come across a circumstance where that doesn't come from early in childhood, from a parent or both parents. So, you know, I don't know much about Trump's childhood, but I would guess that there was some degree of, you know, you're not good enough. And so he has probably spent a lifetime, 70 years, trying to prove his mother, his father, somebody wrong. And that's why you see that defensiveness and that selling constantly,
yeah.
You know, because I think, you know, and I've worked with a few people like this where their ego needs are so massive that there's really nothing that can happen. I mean, here's a man who's been named leader of the free
the
world.
The highest president. Post this you is, could possibly
right.
reach.
You're not going to get a better gig than this. To,
right.
for,
I'm
to,
having a dream. This didn't
ego.
Really happen.
No, it happened. It happened. I saw it on CNN, which could mean it's fake.
Right.
We don't know for sure if it happened or not. All right, so this means it's somewhere during his formative years.
Fourth of five children, by the way. I just looked that up.
Donald
so
Travis.
Trying to get some attention.
Sure. Yeah. That middle child syndrome, right? And he's somewhere in the middle there. And might get lost in the shuffle, right?
Because, now, on the positive side of that,
yeah.
I would think that if handled properly, that could serve you very well in business. And to be honest, as much as I don't like him, it could serve you very well in politics. It just seems very strange to me that a guy who has achieved what he's achieved needs to constantly put a screwdriver in somebody's back and twist it and twist it and twist it and say, look what I'm succeeding at.
I know what you mean. Right. I mean, certainly in a lot of people that I've known and worked with, it drives this kind of like fierce motivation to achieve something,
yeah.
You know, and you can't argue that this man has achieved quite a
he
bit
has.
In his life. Right. You know, the question I think that remains maybe for us as a country is like, when is that part done? And my fear is like, I don't know if it is done. You know what I mean? Like if you reach
we've
this
just
pinnacle.
Tapped that whatever it is, that well of coming out and saying, I did this. President Obama last night, conversely, was saying, we did this as a country. We together. It wasn't like I did this. I did that. I think we're going to hear a lot of I, me.
You already have, and it's hard to picture. One thing about like the you mentioned narcissism or just a deep well of unmet ego needs, it's really resistant to change. So I suspect you're right, Wendy, that this is likely not to change. And as things in his administration, if he does well, if something happens that feels like a win to him, you're going to hear a lot.
Could Hillary have done that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. There
that
was some of
happened.
That even today,
just
wasn't
had
there?
That today. Yeah.
Right.
Thank God, it's yeah. over with.
Yeah.
All right, so a best-case scenario is he uses this to his advantage, and we all benefit from it. That's best-case scenario.
Right.
But there's also a potential downside to having that sort of a personality, isn't there?
Well, there is because I fear that even just listening today, that there's this potential to undermine a lot of the things that we, you know, we're an anxious populace right now. At least half of the people out here
right.
are kind of anxious about what's going to happen economically, internationally. And if our leader, our, you know, commander in chief isn't focused on that, but is focused on like, I'm going to achieve things, then maybe the needs of the country don't get met, but the needs of this man get met. That's what I'm probably most concerned about as we get started here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling Bill off the air, and I wonder this. I know people wanted a change, and they were sick of how the political arena was run, and they wanted an outsider. And I do kind of get that. Yep. You know, they voted with their middle finger. That's what they did.
Absolutely.
But do they love Trump, or do they love that it's somebody different? Because the more I hear from him and the more I'm exposed to, the less confidence I have. And early this year, I said, I have hope. That's all I have. I don't know. My hope is running thin.
Yeah, you know, I think in a lot of ways, the man himself reflects, almost holds a mirror up to a great deal of the population that didn't feel heard in the last 8 years or so. And so, you know, they're hoping to see this grand change in their favor. And I can't tell yet whether that's this man's intent. I was telling Bill that in the green room, I was getting some texts from people saying, hey, this feels way more presidential than in the past. Whereas, you know, but I think the bar is so low relative to, let's say, Obama, who, you know, you can dislike everything about his politics, but I don't think you can argue with his eloquence and his class and the lack of his character.
Right. Is amazing. The love of his family, of his wife, of his country. I mean, when I voted for him twice, and I felt that he meant all this stuff from his heart.
And it's a tough day because it's hard not to draw that contrast, right? These couple of speeches happened hours apart, and you hear we in one speech and I in another speech, which probably begs your initial question, Bill,
sure.
Like, you know, are we dealing with somebody who's narcissistic or has too many unmet ego needs to really fulfill this gig?
How can we as humans be wired so differently? There are certain innate qualities that we have. If something's about to fall on us, most people know to block it.
Right.
So how could it be that during last night's speech, so many people could watch it and say, wow, we're losing an actual gem. This guy really did everything he could for the country. And other people watch it and go, oh, my God, I can't stand this guy. Thank God he's done.
Propaganda. And somebody then, just text. That's what it was last night. For what? He's going out of the office. He's done.
Well, and part of it might be propaganda today as well, right? I mean, you know,
you
like,
could, yeah,
right. You know, right. Like you can make an easy argument that, you know, like there was some news that came out yesterday. And so, you know, in order to distract from that, this man had to focus on other things today.
Right.
You know, so I think propaganda drives a lot of what people feel and who they end up supporting. And when I've talked to a lot of people in the last few months, as I know you guys have as well, and it doesn't always feel like people are supporting a candidate that is necessarily going to work even in their best interests. There's
right.
this feeling about Trump that, like, I like him because he tells it like it is. He's not business as usual. He's not politics as usual. And so we buy into these kind of catchphrases that we hear from these candidates, not really thinking through, like, okay, well, what does that mean for me in my life today, you know,
right.
and over the next 4 or 8 years? Propaganda is powerful. There's a reason that it works, you know, on the populace, on all of us.
Aren't you always leery of people who, quote unquote, tell it like it is? Because what they're really telling you is it's their version of what it is.
And of course.
I mean, I know this, again, to your point, Wendy, this is a business where what anyone listening is, you're hearing our versions of what we think it is.
Of course, right.
But so many times, anybody who's branded the guy or the girl who tells it like it is, when you stop and take a step back, you go, is that how it is?
Right, right. Well, just the word propaganda suggests, like, we're going to try to convince you of something, whether it's true or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think about some of the advisors to some of the candidates. I'm thinking of one person in particular, and whether she really believes everything she's saying, or if she's really thinking, I'm going to work
this
hard to get
this. This is my job.
This is my gig. I'm going to get this guy elected regardless of what I believe or what I feel.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of people along the line who have to bite a bullet and say,
yeah.
Look, for what I do for a living, I have to toe the company line and say a certain thing.
I remember David Axelrod saying 8 years ago that, you know, we're all kind of whores for our candidates,
sure.
whether we like that or not.
That's totally true.
Right? And there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break.
Please tell me I'm dreaming.
No, it's real. It's absolutely real.
It's real.
I would pinch you, but you saw the HR memo. All right, more with Dr. John Duffy. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. John Duffy is here, author, The Available Parent, podcaster. Steve Dale's Pet World, is that the name of your podcast?
See, exactly. Oddly enough, it is.
Strange name for your podcast. We're talking about the events of last night and then the press conference today and all its residual effects.
Can I just mention something? I'm watching the Obama speech last night, doing it mainly because it's in Chicago. I like the guy so much. I respect him. I wanted to see it. Plus, I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah.
And there was a touching moment. Was that Malia that was there? Sasha had a final she had to study for.
Is that where she was? Because the New York Knicks issued a statement furious that they didn't know where her whereabouts. They were furious.
Andrea Dardless was there last night, and she said that Sasha had
a big test today she was studying for.
Which that just touches me. Like, she misses this. Because what a good student. I would blow off the test. I mean, come on. Yeah. So there was a touching moment where he's talking about his wife Michelle and his daughters, and I welled up. I totally did. Bill.
Yeah, I did too.
But there was a moment, and I got to bring this up, and I hate that I'm bringing this up, but, you know, Michelle seemed very pulled together during it. Malia, you could tell she couldn't control herself, and she was wiping tears from her eyes with her fingers, not to smear her makeup. I know how girls do it. You look up and try and rub under your eye. And then there was a moment that Barack Obama on the stage pulled out a handkerchief and kind of dabbed at his eye. For a half a second, I thought that was more performance.
I think that's possible. You know, I think
trust him, and I know he felt that, but maybe he's thinking, if you know, are people seeing my tears? I believe he felt it in his heart, but it looked like a performance to me.
You know, I think there's a psychology to politics across the board, and if you're a politician, you're going to play on emotion, and you're going to play on distraction, and you're going to play on certain elements that are going to draw a reaction. And, you know, I remember that moment, and I'm not confident that that was an absolutely genuine
moment. I don't deny he was crying,
right?
Or, you know, shed a tear, but just seeing that handkerchief, to me, something was like, it just looked planned.
Right, right, right. And it preserves this legacy that he's this, like, kind of family man with no scandal attached to him. And, you know, like, and I don't put it past any politician. You know, somebody somewhere along the line said, I don't trust anybody who would want this job about the presidency, you know. And I think part of it is that there's some smoke and mirrors involved all the time. You're always playing on the psychology of it, you know, and trying to sway people's opinions.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. But you know what else was going on aside from the words that were being said? There were, and anyone who's ever been in love kind of understands this unwritten, unsaid moment where you could see the history of he and Michelle in their eyes. She mouthed the words, I love you. I don't know if you picked that up.
Yeah.
But you could see there's this quick time thing where you go, boy, when we met, when we got together, there was no way in the world you could understand or I could understand the ride that we were about to take, that
right.
We would end up in the White House. And now those days are done, and wow, we really did something that neither of us or anybody could have foretold years and years ago. And then also there was that moment with his younger daughter where he said, of all the things I've accomplished, being a father to my daughters is the thing I'm most proud of. How do you not tear up at that?
It's almost not fair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a loaded deck in terms of emotion, and I think an awful lot of people are very attached to this family.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was deliberately playing on that, but he was certainly going to mention it because I feel like that's been part of the fabric of his presidency the whole way through, and to ignore it would have been not good politics, but also and there's a humanity to it that I think we all kind of, like, most of us attach to, you know?
Yeah.
To be a good person. That's what we should all strive to be.
Right.
You know, with no scandal attached to you. The words he spoke to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden got a rousing round of applause. That was so touching. Not only did I, you know, right away I chose you, and I also gained a brother.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so wonderful.
It was great. And what I love about this as a psychologist is this kind of turning the tables and having these men in positions of enormous power who are overtly expressing emotion, affection for one another, love for one another like their brothers.
That's progress, isn't it?
It really is.
There's a time where that would have been frowned upon. don't
not
show
that
weakness,
long ago, right? I mean, never in presidential politics has that really been prevalent. And if it were, it was stoic. It wasn't broadly emotional like it was last night.
Well, maybe 4 years from now, if Donald Trump just runs, you know, has one term, maybe at his farewell speech, because he seems to love his family, too. You have to give him that.
Yeah, he does. And I can imagine a moment like that, you know, and who knows, maybe he and Pence will have a moment like that, you know, like these people work really, really closely together on enormous issues. And, you know, I think they do become really close. And meanwhile, all sorts of personal things are taking place. Obama's kids started, his daughter started college, and Joe Biden lost a son during these last eight years, you know, and so it's not like they haven't been through something personal together as well as professional. And I think that shows, and undoubtedly that'll happen in the next few years.
They did put the camera on Biden when President Obama was saying being a father is the proudest thing. They did put the camera on Joe Biden, and you felt for him too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly. I mean,
boy, this is like a yin and a yang, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, as we're saying all this, I'm sure there are plenty of listeners listening going, well, sure, you guys are, you're all fans of Obama, so you love those golden moments with him, but you don't like Donald Trump, so you despise the moments that you just heard. But I don't think it takes an expert to realize that there's a huge difference in the personalities of these two men. And look, I can't imagine what it must take to run a country. I can't even come close. I'm sure you have to really build a skin that is, you know, as thick as thick can be. But their personalities couldn't be more different, in my opinion.
No, it's a stark difference. But, you know, one note about Trump that I found interesting from the beginning is his willingness to forego what is kind of this gilded, easy life, right? You know, up in literally this kind of ivory tower in order to kind of expose himself to, you know, being seen in the public eye in a completely different way, in a critical way. I think he has to develop a thicker skin in order for this to work out, and maybe let go of the Twitter account a little bit. But you know, like there is an element of courage, I think, affiliated with that. You know,
can I ask you a quick question? This is something that occurred to me as I'm watching this. You know how sometimes somebody will have this thing where as they're talking, they keep saying the word or they're stumbling a little bit. So they use that as kind of a crutch to say or and they don't realize it. And you have to play a tape of them. And then they hear it and they go, oh, wow, I didn't realize I said and all the time.
Right.
Do you think a guy who's got that kind of a quirk like Donald Trump does, that constant back padding, does he realize it? Like, does he understand that for a lot of us hearing him, it's like, all right, we know you've achieved a lot of stuff. Back off a little bit.
You know, having worked with some people who remind me just psychologically of Donald Trump, typically, no. There's little self-awareness, and there's always kind of this thought about, like, the next thing. How do I bolster myself in the next thing, in the next tweet, the next speech, whatever it is? And so there's precious little self-reflection at a time where it's probably really useful. You know what I mean? Like I was thinking this morning, you know, like, boy, if this man took a moment for some self-reflection, he might present himself a little bit differently and draw in more of the population than he has.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think he probably takes a lot of time to look back and self-reflect in a critical way.
Yeah.
If he self-reflects, I suspect it's in a way that makes him feel good about himself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't you agree that almost always 50% of the time someone's going to be upset with who's in office?
Sure.
I didn't vote for all the winners in my election career, in my voting career, but I can only hope that 4 years from now we're sitting here talking. Hopefully, I hope we're still here in 4 years. But talking about what a great job Donald Trump did, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen. Again, now hope is my middle name again. God, I am so wishy-washy. I'm like the John Kerry of WGN.
But it's the only reasonable approach, right? To approach this with hope. And, you know, and there's not much I heard this morning that makes me think that there's no reason to hope. There was a few stumbling blocks, I thought. But you know, it felt slightly more presidential than the last speech. And hopefully that trend continues.
Thanks, John.
Fingers crossed.
We appreciate it. Fingers are crossed.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's John Duffy. Again, the book is The Available Parent. And if people want to hear the podcast, WGN Plus is the way to go. The name of the podcast is not Steve Dale's Pet World. I was reading that wrong. It is actually
Undue Anxiety.
That's what it is.